But anyway, so Janine, come on up here. Don't you love Janine?
Hey. Oh,
a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Love her as a friend. And so, Father, bless her really, really good.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I just pray, Lord, that all of the stuff, Lord, all the ways that she's given out and poured out and been faithful in the little, Lord, I ask, Lord, that you would redeem that and give her much.
Yes, Lord.
And I ask, Lord, that you would expand, Lord, her capacity to receive you. And, Lord, I ask, Lord, that for tonight, Lord, that you would expand our capacity to receive what she has to say.
Yes,
Lord, we thank you for Janine, and we bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. I wasn't planning on starting out with this, but I want to tell a testimony, actually a healing testimony. And it, so it doesn't have to do with dreams tonight, but I have to say I'm one of those people that God is growing in my faith when it comes to healing. And the reason I say that is because I lost a very dear friend to pancreatic cancer. We had prayed for him faithfully. And so I was hit pretty hard in the area of my faith. And some of you may be in that place. And so I just feel like it's important to say, like, that, you know, I have great faith. You tell me to go prophesy over a bunch of witches, I will do it in a heartbeat. You tell me to go to like a new age place and to, you know, prophesy there and interpret dreams, I've got great faith for that. You tell me to go to Burning Man where there are naked people who we have to, you know, minister to, I've got great faith for that. The Lord's put that in me. You tell me to pray for a cold and I'm like, okay, I'll pray, but there's something up here that still needs to be overcome to really have a lot of faith for that. So I've been listening to healing scriptures and praying healing scriptures and just asking God to help me with that. Well, I was in church a couple weeks ago, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago, and I was talking to the Lord about this, and he said, well, why haven't you gone forward for healing? And he said, if you want to grow in faith, why don't you test me and see if I would heal you? And I had this issue with my foot about a year ago when I moved here to Franklin. I dropped like a 15-pound weight on the top of my foot. And it was horrendous. And I didn't go to the doctor. Don't ask me why. I just didn't. But I just iced it and tried to stay off of it. And I think I must have damaged a nerve or something, because even up until just about a month ago, it was still painful. And literally, if I would go to get a pedicure, I would have to tell someone, please don't touch the top of my foot because I had this injury, blah, blah, blah. So I come up here, and it happened to be before I was going to go overseas, and I was going to have to go through a whole bunch of airports and trains, and any of you know what that's like. It is a pain to do when your foot is feeling normal. It's awful to do when you're in pain. So I came up here, and actually, I see the woman who prayed for me, and there was a woman up here who prayed for me, and then my team, when we got over there, prayed again, and my foot is 100% healed. I have no pain whatsoever. And that might, I mean, it's not cancer, but let me tell you, to me, it was huge because not only was it painful, you know, just to have people touch it, but, I love wearing high-heeled boots. Some of you know that. I couldn't wear them. And when you're 5'1", that's a horrible thing. That's a horrible thing to not be able to wear high-heeled boots. So I'm grateful to the Lord on many levels for healing my foot. Okay, so tonight, it's not about healing tonight, but it is about dreams. And I think it's awesome that we talked about healing, because anytime we talk about the supernatural realm of God, it releases faith in the room for supernatural realm. And dreams are an aspect of the supernatural realm. We haven't often attributed to that in the church. In fact, most people think that dreams come from your own psyche, not from the spiritual realm. But hopefully, if you were here last week, we dispelled that myth. And if you were not here last week, to honor our time tonight, I really want to go deeper in what we did last week. So if you did not come last week, I just want to encourage you to get the podcast, so that way I don't have to do a review of what happened last week. And tonight we're going to do new stuff. So here's where we're going tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit about the difference between biblical interpretation and secular interpretation, because there is a difference. I'm going to be talking about some keys to unlocking your dreams, including how to remember your dreams, because if you want to interpret dreams, obviously you got to remember yours. I'm also going to be giving you real quickly the interpretation to the top 10 dreams that people have, because if you know those interpretations, you can literally talk to about 90% of the population. And I'm talking about the worldwide population, about their dreams. And so we'll be doing that. I also, Oh, dark colored. Didn't we have this issue last week too? Only it was like a white car and then a gray car and then we weren't really sure. Yeah. So, but we have actual details about the car. So, okay. Oh, it's a Mazda MCX. Is that the same dude that was last? Wasn't that last week? Wasn't that what it was? I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Where is that person? No, just kidding. Okay. I also want to do some time for question and answer because I have found that as I talk about dreams and as I teach about dreams, that some of the most profound teaching comes out of your questions. So be thinking about that. I want to start, though, tonight with another testimony. This is not my testimony. It's a testimony of a dear friend of mine, and I just heard it fresh today. And the reason why I want to give you the testimony is this. If you were here last week, you heard me say, dreams are an aspect of prophetic ministry. And dream interpretation is an aspect of prophetic ministry. If you were here, you saw three lovely ladies come up to the front and give their dreams. And they each had a profound touch from the Lord as a result of the interpretation of a dream. And we need to understand that when we are interpreting dreams, we have the incredible responsibility of communicating God's heart to a person about that dream, whether the dream came from Him or not. Whether the dream came from Him or not, we want to be able to speak the Father's heart, to release the Father's blessing, to remember that the prophetic is about drawing a person forward into God's purposes. So even when we see a negative dream, we don't want to speak the interpretation and leave them there. We always, always, always want to give them room for hope. Now, this story happened to a dear friend of mine called Reese Saunders. And he is an itinerant minister with John Paul Jackson with Streams. And he was in Poland a number of years ago. And actually, when he went over there, he was not all that great at dream interpretation in his own words. And so, so he goes to Poland, and he's done a whole bunch of teaching on dream interpretation, and now he's hanging out with a bunch of people at a pub. And he's talking with the students, and he's teaching, and there are these two drunk guys that come in. And they're harassing the group. And a couple of people from the group are saying, hey, listen, you know, we've got a guest here. Would you please just, you know, leave us alone? Would you please respect us? And they wouldn't go away. They kept harassing them, and they were kind of catcalling to the women. And so people are trying to fend this off. And finally, the Lord, Reese hears the Lord. And the Lord says, ask that man what his dream was last night. And Reese's like, he's drunk. You know, he said, I used to be drunk. I know what drunk men have, what kind of dreams they have. I don't want to ask him what his dream was last night. And so he's arguing with the Lord about this. And then the second argument was this, Lord, I'm not that great at dream interpretation, and I'm with all these students. I really don't want to ask this man his dream and not be able to interpret it. And the Lord keeps telling him, ask him. Don't we do that, though? I mean, this is his story. This is exactly how he tells it. So finally, he finally listens to the Lord, and he tells, because he doesn't speak Polish, he says, would you please go ask that man what his dream was last night? And this woman argues with him as well. She's like, he can't even talk. How can he remember his dream? He said, I'm telling you, the Lord told me to go ask him about the dream. So she goes over, asks him what his dream was last night. And in a really drunk voice, he said, yeah, I had a dream last night. He said, I had a dream that I was in my prison cell, and someone came in, a guy came in, and I was really pissed off at him, and I stabbed him to death, and I loved it. And a second guy came in, and I did the same thing. He pissed me off, I was angry, and I stabbed him, and I loved it. And it happened a few times. And he said, every time someone came in, I killed him. That was my dream. And Reese's thinking, oh, my Lord. Thank you, God. And he has no clue. He has absolutely no clue what the meaning is. And so he said, in his own words, he says this. He goes, so as any good teacher would do, I said to my students, what do you get from the dream? They were like, we're not touching this one. It's all you. So he still had no clue. This is the reason why I draw out these stories, because there's a teaching point in every single thing that I'm saying, hopefully. And that is this. When you start interpreting dreams, this is what is going to happen to you. You are not going to always know the interpretation. You are going to have to open up your mouth and ask the Lord to fill it. And you are going to be surprised when that happens. And I want to tell you, if you want to really interpret dreams, start asking God to give your non-believing friends dreams, because that's where you will grow in the most accelerated place, is by interpreting theirs. prayers. So he doesn't have a clue. He has no clue, but he decides to open his mouth and he says this. He goes, I know what your dream means. Not having a clue, but knowing that the one inside of him does. And he says this. He said, and all of a sudden he got a word of knowledge from the Lord. And it, so he got a word of knowledge, which I'll give you, I'll tell you what you'll probably get it. But he says to the man this. He said, all your life, he said, up to this point, you have been a life taker because something happened at age 7 that was so horrific that all it's driven you to do is unleash anger and hatred towards everyone you around you. He said, but I want you to know you were never created to be that. You were created to be a life giver. And the man starts weeping. And he said, who are you? He said, I don't ever cry. I never, ever cry. Who are you? And Reese tells him, and he says, I can't believe I'm crying. He goes, I don't know what this is. And so Reese starts to sharing with him a little bit more. And then the Lord says to him this. He said, he has been inappropriately touched by men all of his life. I want you to lean over and I want you to kiss him on his forehead the way his father should have. And so Reese looks at him and he says, I really feel like God's just asked me to do something. Is that okay? And the man says, yes. And he leans over and he kisses this man on his forehead and he looks him in the eye. And then he says, this is how you were always meant to be touched. And the man is just reduced to tears. And then he says through an interpreter, he said, I want you to know that my friends and I came out tonight to get drunk and we were going to go and we were going to rob a person's home and we were going to basically, push anyone aside and do what we had to do in order to get what we wanted, which probably included, you could imagine this guy has murdered people before. So you can imagine what he was saying. What he was saying is, I intended to go out and kill anyone who might have gotten in my way. But because of what you said here tonight, I am not going to do that. Wow. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. That is amazing. Now, the reason that I want to say this is because when we interpret dreams for people, it is going to be very, very important that we hear the heart of the Lord and that we not see with our natural eyes. Very important. When someone brings a dream to you, especially if you know them, or if you happen to be in front of someone and they're dressed in goth outfit, and you happen to not like goth people, or whatever people group they might belong to, who knows? I don't know. But you're going to have to ask God to help you see with the eyes of your spirit, because you could very easily peg someone into a corner and not hear the heart of the Lord because of what you think and what you see with your natural eyes. Had Reese not listened to the Lord that night, had he looked only with his natural eyes at what this guy was doing and the way he was catcalling to the women, he never, ever would have heard the Lord the way he did, and he would have missed that divine moment. We have the ability to release not only the heart of God, we have the ability to release his purposes into the natural realm so that they actually come to pass. And when we interpret a dream, that's what we're doing. That's why I take it so seriously. When someone gives me a dream to interpret, I take it so seriously because I know that if I can communicate the heart of the Lord to them through the interpretation, I know that it actually releases creative potential and it really does bring heaven to earth. And that's my hope. My hope is whatever you catch from tonight, whatever you caught from last night, remember, God wants to bring you hope. He wants to inspire you. He wants to give you courage. He wants to push you forward into your destiny. And that includes not only your dreams, but interpreting dreams for other people. All of that is God's heart in dream interpretation. Okay. I do want to just say a few things that I said last week, and that's the list of what I gave of some of the purposes and functions of dreams in the scripture. These are not all, but just as a quick reminder, he gives them to us to keep us from sinning. He gives them to us to reveal his will. He gives them to us to encourage us. He gives them to us to reveal the future, and he also gives them to us so that we will be instructed in his ways and know the way that we should go, because that's his heart for us all the time. Now, if you were here last week, you heard me say that there is a difference between interpreting dreams God's way and interpreting dreams a secular way. And I'm very sad to say this, but it's true that while it's true that a lot of the church is embracing dream interpretation, and I'm grateful for that, it is also true that many churches are embracing a secular way of interpreting dreams. And I see it all the time. I see Jungian influence. I see Freudian influence. Those are the two most popular. And I also see the Gestalt method. And if you take any of those methods, which, by the way, if you haven't studied them, I don't encourage you to do this. But if you have studied them, and if you question what I'm saying, I want to encourage you, take the method that you've learned. Use it to interpret the dreams for which we have an interpretation in Scripture, because you will find out for yourself you will not get the same thing that God gave us. Now, so if you do that, what does that say? That says that interpreting dreams God's way is not the same thing as interpreting dreams in a secular way. Now, I'm not going to teach about the Jungian and Freudian method, but I do want to tell you some differences between a biblical approach and a secular approach. So a biblical approach teaches this, that dreams are eternal in nature and that they will produce eternal change when you seek the Lord for the interpretation. That's very important. A secular methods of dream interpretation teach that dreams are just for today. They only have to do with your past or your present, and it's your own psyche trying to figure out today's issues. So what ends up happening as looking, you know, in terms of using those dream interpretive methods, you navel gaze. It leaves no room for looking to the future and what the Lord wants to bring about in terms of eternal change in your life. Okay, second difference. In the Bible, this might be a challenge for some of you. In the Bible, all of the dreams are externally originated. All of them. They all come from an external source. We don't have anything, any example within Scripture that teaches that dreams come from our own psyche. Secular dream interpretation teaches that dreams are internally originated. That it's your own subconscious trying to figure out something that's going on. That it's because of what you saw, it's because of what you experienced, it's because of some issue that you had, it's because of the way your mom treated you, it's because of the way your dad treated you, it's because of your outlook on life. That is a secular view of dreams and dream interpretation. The only example we have in Scripture for dreams are that dreams are externally originated. So what does that mean? Because not all dreams come from God, right? So what's the other possible source? The enemy. Yes, you can have dreams from the enemy. And you can have dreams also that are kind of like your own soulish desires and your own soulish intentions and your will and all of that. But remember, when it comes to the issues of the soul, who are the two sources that influence our soul? Who are the two? God and who else? God and the enemy. So you can have dreams that come that are about your soulish desires that then lead you to a place of either being yielded to the Lord or show you where you are not yielded to the Lord, where you are outside of His will. So they are externally originated in a biblical view. They're internally originated in a secular view. So that means they're from God or from the enemy, depending upon, and obviously, I mean, I would hope we're all here tonight hearing from God. So the same thing that you do in applying, or the same characteristics that you look at for whether you're hearing God or the enemy, you use for your dream life. So is a dream full of light? Is it full of color? Is it full of hope? Is it full of change? Is it full of, you know, joy? Is it full of peace? Is it full of all those things? That's a God dream. Is it something that brings condemnation? Is it something that brings, you know, all that stuff? You use the same discernment that you have about hearing God in general, you use towards your dreams. All right, this is probably one of the most important, I think. Dream interpretation from a biblical perspective teaches you to be theospective. What does that mean? That means it teaches you to be focused on God. Dream interpretation in a secular method teaches you to be introspective. Now, this might sound harsh, but I have to say it. When you are introspective and when you are looking to yourself for an interpretation with the dream interpretation methods that cause you to be inward, who's God in that scenario? You. That's essentially, and we don't think it, do you know what I mean? We don't necessarily understand right away, but that is the natural conclusion, that if you're looking to yourself for the answers, if you're looking to your mind for the answers, and you also believe that they're internally originated, whose will is being elevated? Yours instead of God's. Biblical dream interpretation teaches you that God is the one who can do any change that is necessary. Meaning, when you happen to have a dream and you realize it's a correction dream, or you happen to have a dream and you realize that it's an intercession dream and you need to pray, you are totally focused on God alone in order to do that. In a secular view of dream interpretation, that dream interpretation basically, if you follow that line of thinking, means we can change ourselves. That we have the power to control our lives, that we have the power in and of ourselves to make things happen the way we want them to happen. And that is clearly anti-biblical. Okay. Those are the main ones. There's an excellent resource, which I'm sorry I was not able to get for tonight's resource table, which if you saw on the way in, I have a few things out there for you guys if you're interested in that. But there's a really good resource by John Paul Jackson called The Biblical Model of Dream Interpretation. You can get it off of his website at streamsministries.com. And I want to just make sure you got ministries, because if you go to streamsministry.com, that is a New Age website. So I'm not sending you there. Isn't that just like the enemy? Streamsministries.com. And that's called The Biblical Model of Dream Interpretation. Okay. What's the subtitle of it? It's called Avoiding the Pitfalls of Soulish Interpretation. It's an awesome, awesome resource. So if you want more on that, go there. Okay. I think what I would like to do... I want to give one more testimony, because I think it's going to open up a little bit some questions, hopefully, about lucid dreaming, although I'll take any questions that you guys have. But I want to do, because we're going to board some dreams and I want to be teaching you about how, just real practical things for how to interpret your dreams, I want to kind of segue into some question and answer in just a minute. So be thinking about your questions and answers. Now, if you were here last week, I talked about this, that we can have dreams that are externally originated. We can have dreams that are totally metaphorical, that are symbolic, that we have to interpret with the Lord. We also can have visionary experiences in our dreams. Visions tend to be more literal than regular dreams are. So to limit what happens at night to just dreams is incorrect, because the scriptures tell us in Job that God may speak in a dream or in a vision of the night. So there are two different words, dream, vision, which means they're not the same. So you can have, while you're sleeping, visions at night, and that happened to a number of people in the scriptures. So, number one, part of the reason why we called this last week Understanding Dreams and Visions is because you can take the same thing I'm going to be teaching you tonight about breaking down your dreams. You can do the same thing with your visions. Just because visions tend to be more literal doesn't mean they don't need interpretation. We see in the scriptures that they need interpretation. So all that I'm teaching you, you can apply to both dreams and visions. Number two, you also can have supernatural experiences at night when you go to sleep. And one of my prayers, I don't pray it every single night, but when I think of it as I'm going to sleep, I always pray for dreams. I ask for God to speak to me at night. I ask for the Lord to use the night however he will. But I pray this sometimes, Lord, if you have need of me tonight anywhere, if you want me to go anywhere, I want to go. Take me wherever it is that you want to go. And he will take you. It's called a transportation. In the scriptures, it's basically the Lord takes you by the Spirit. And it's your spirit that he takes. Sometimes he can take you bodily, but he will take you by the Spirit to another place on earth where you will do things. I want to give you two different stories about this. A friend of mine, this was in the first election, I think it was the first election, was when Bush was running, what was a year, the first time when Ohio was hinging on Ohio? That was the first time, wasn't it? Yeah. Okay. So a friend of mine, I'd been teaching on dreams for a while. A friend of mine calls me one day, and this is before the election happened. And she said, "Janine, I had this really interesting thing happen last night. I don't know if it's a dream or I don't know if it's a vision. I don't really know what happened. But last night in my dream, as I was sleeping, she said, I flew to the state of Ohio, and I was there with a number of people, other believers. And as I was flying around Ohio, I heard the Lord tell me, declare Bush the victor. And so I started declaring, Bush is going to win. Bush is going to win. Bush is going to win. And she said, and all the other believers there were doing the same thing. Bush is going to win. Bush is going to win. Bush is going to win. And she said, so what do you think that is? And I said, well, I said, I don't think it needs much of an interpretation. I said, you basically traveled in the spirit and you did intercession in your dream at night with a whole bunch of other believers. And I don't know what's going to be important about Ohio, but it tells me something significant is going to happen in Ohio, that you guys had to be there to prepare the spirit realm so that people there would hear that Bush was the winner. So, fast forward now to the election. Now, if any of you guys watched the election closely that year, I stayed up until I heard that it was hinging on Ohio. And then I said, I'm going to bed. Because I know who wins this. I don't need to stay up anymore. Paul talks about, you know, and he says, I don't know if I was in the body or if I was out. He doesn't know for sure what things happen. And my friend said, you know, I don't really know if I was there. I don't think I was there in my body. I felt like I was there in the spirit. And she said, but even after having had the experience, she was not entirely sure what happened that night. Okay, I'll give you one of mine. How many of you know Angelina Jolie? Okay. Hard to think that anyone could be alive on the planet and not know who Angelina Jolie is because her face is everywhere. Well, a couple years ago or a year and a half ago or something like that, she had twins. If you remember anything, if you follow celebrity culture at all, she did not ever say that she was going to have twins. And in fact, a co-star of hers is the one who announced it kind of late into her pregnancy. So this is before I knew she was pregnant. So just to give you kind of time frame, I knew she was pregnant. I knew she was about 4 or 5 months pregnant, something like that. Although it was, you know, that was just based on pictures because she wasn't announcing when she was due. So in this dream, I go to the launching of a fragrance, and Brad Pitt is the face of this fragrance. It's in another country. I don't know what country it is. But they're launching the fragrance, and I go to this party, and all these celebrities are there. Brad's there, Angelina's there, and I'm there. And I'm like, what am I doing here, Lord? This is not anything I ever thought that I would experience. And he said, you're here to pray for Angelina. And he said, and I said, okay. I said, what do you want me to pray? And he said, she needs to know that that one of her twins is okay. And I said, I didn't know she was having twins. And I said, okay. And I said, well, what do you want me to do? Because I didn't know if I was supposed to stay there or go up to her. And it was very, very real. I mean, let me just tell you, it was like as real as it is as me standing in front of you right now. And he said, I want you to go up to her and tell her that I sent you here to pray for her and for her baby. And I was like, okay. I mean, I felt every bit as in fear as I would as if this happened right here. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm like, she doesn't know who I am. And, you know, look at the way I'm dressed and look at her. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm doing all that stuff, right? So I walk up to her and I said, you know, Mr. Lee, I'm very sorry to interrupt you, but I wanted you to know that God actually sent me here tonight to let you know that your baby's going to be okay. And I said, I know that one of them, you're concerned about one of them, and he just wants you to know that that your baby's going to be okay. And she starts crying. And I said, would it be okay with you if I just put my hands on your belly and if I just prayed that that everything would be okay? And she said, yes, that's fine. And I don't remember what I prayed at that point because, it was an out-of-body experience. So at this point, it's like so surreal that when I woke up, I think I couldn't even quite capture what happened. But I felt the power of the Spirit as I was praying. And then that was it. And she just said, thank you very much for coming. And that was it. So I walked out of the party. I woke up from the dream and I was like, what was that? And I'm trying everything I can to like interpret it symbolically, do you know what I mean? And I realized, no, I think it may have actually happened. I think maybe something was going on with her baby. And so a few months later, I happened to be watching coverage of the Cannes Film Festival, which is actually when her co-star kind of, you know, let the cat out of the bag that she was actually having twins. And when I heard that announcement, I knew that I'd been there in the spirit. Now, does she have any recollection of that? I don't know. Did it actually happen in the natural? Like, was I there and it really happened in the natural? Or did I travel in a dream and I did it in a dream? And if so, was she even aware of it? I have no clue. I have absolutely no clue. But here's what I know. That the Lord is not limited by the laws which govern our natural universe. And I don't understand why he chooses to do this, except that he's a supernatural God, that he will take your spirit out of your body if you give him permission to, and sometimes even when you don't, and you're not aware of it. And he will send you places to do things. I think it's amazing. And if you have any questions about this, if you're hearing this for the first time, read the book of Acts and read Elijah. Because it happened so often to him that Obadiah said to him, "Nah, you're not. I'm not letting you out of my sight. Because if I let you out of my sight, you're gonna come. You're gonna just fly away somewhere. Because it just happens all the time." That's what he said. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. So dreams, what happens in our nightlife, is not just limited to symbolic dreams that we receive. All the supernatural experiences that we see in the Bible, you can actually have in your nightlife. And I would encourage you to grow in understanding. Obviously, you're here on Wednesday night, you know. Continue to grow in your understanding, because what it is that you focus on in your life is what you make room for. What it is that you focus on in life, you will make room for. I'd never heard of transportations before I met John Paul. And when I met John Paul and he started teaching about it, I was like, that's weird. You know? I don't get it. That's weird. But you know what, God? If it's you, I want it. And I started studying the scriptures so that I could know that it was, you know, there was biblical foundation for it. And then you know what? Started happening to me. And I could tell you stories, other stories here tonight of when I've been transported. So I wanted to introduce that, because for me to just say that dreams are all symbolic, I can't leave you with that. There's too many things that happen at night. Now, we were announced last week, what I'm teaching is really like, it's like a very, very small subset of a much longer course. And so I realize that in some way I'm kind of like, I feel like I would do more of an injustice if I didn't introduce it than I am by introducing it and not being able to fully unpack it. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. All right. So I would like to do question and answers. Anything that you have about dreams, anything you have about visions, anything you have about supernatural experiences at night, I'm not going to do, just for the sake of this time right now, I'm not going to interpret dreams right now, because we're going to do that in a minute, and I don't want to answer questions about symbols, if that's okay, because that all goes to interpretation, and we'll do that in just a little bit. So general questions about dreams, dream interpretation. Yes, Kent.
Have you ever heard of anyone, whether it's being transported or whatever, going and getting something?
Yes.
And bringing it back and actually have it in their possession?
Kent just asked the question, have I heard of anyone actually going somewhere, traveling in the spirit, getting something and actually bringing it back with them? Yes. Actually, I've not heard of, I should qualify that. I have not heard that happen with a transportation. I've heard that happen with a translation. And here's the difference. A transportation is when God takes your spirit some other place on earth. A translation is when God takes you to heaven. So I have heard stories where people have literally gone to heaven and actually come back with something heavenly. And that can happen. And Jeff just said he knows someone that happened in a transportation.
The reason I asked that is we heard, I think the God Channel or something, maybe a guy that had about a wedding band or something, a ring that he lost. And God actually, I just translated whatever to where this ring was, and he got it. And when he came
cool.
back, he had the ring in his hand.
That he was just saying on the God Channel that someone gave a story. He'd lost his wedding band, and he was transported in the spirit and to the place where it was. And when he came back you know, in full awareness of his body, had the wedding band with him. So, okay, over here. Yes, okay. The question is, can I address dreams that have to do with medication? There are a lot of different categories of dreams. Actually, we teach on 20, not to say that that fully encompasses everything, but most dreams will fall into those categories. And one of the categories is chemical dreams, because your sleep can be affected, and your receptivity of the dream can be affected because of what's going on with your body. I know someone who has to take Ambien, has to take it or they will not be able to sleep. But this person also really, really, really values their dream life. And so they've prayed, God, would you protect me from all the side effects from Ambien? You know that I need to take this in order to sleep. Would you protect me from the side effects so that it doesn't hinder my receptivity of dreams? And he's honored that. So I want to encourage you, if you are one of those people, don't fall into a limiting belief that says because you got to take Tylenol PM or you have to take Ambien that you can't have a dream life. I don't believe that's the Lord. At the same time, you do need to be aware, 2 glasses of wine, 3 glasses of wine, that can affect you, you know, and it can affect your receptivity, as well as medication. So it doesn't mean that the dream is not from God. It just means you've got to ask the Lord for discernment as to how whatever it is that you're taking has affected your receptivity of the dream. Okay, this side of the room. Yes. Yes. Okay, so the question is, do you know much about dreams where when you wake up, you remember the dream, you either like the dream or don't like the dream and are able to go back into the dream so that you can either redream it or change it? Yes, it's called lucid dreaming. And it is a very spiritual form of dream interpretation. I don't have the time tonight to teach because I could teach for literally a couple hours on lucid dreaming. But here's what I will say. You can actually get to the point in your dream life where you grow in the ability to do that. And if your paradigm is open to this, which hopefully it is if you're here tonight, you actually can do things in the spirit realm at night. So if you have a dream and your dream happens to be a nightmare and you do not like the dream, you can ask the Lord to take you back into the dream and you can ask him for the strategy, whatever it is that you need to do in order to change the outcome of the dream. And if you do that, if the enemy comes against you and somehow you're able to overcome, whether you speak something, you say the word, or, you take a, take a bow and arrow and shoot it down. I don't know, whatever. I mean, dreams are crazy. You could do anything, But if you do something to actually change the dream and you've actually, now it's a positive outcome, you have done warfare at night. And here's what's really cool about that. You actually don't need to pray again in the morning. I'm not saying that you can't pray. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying you don't have to because you've already done it. Does that make sense? So when you wake up, you don't need to then try to engage in warfare to stop whatever was happening because you already did the warfare in the dream and it stopped.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you cannot change a dream that God has given you. Because if you attempt to do that, what are you trying to do? You are trying to overthrow his will. So you don't want to do that. You can redream a dream that God has given you, and you can ask him to open it up even more for you so that you dream more and you see more, but you don't want to go in and attempt to change it. Now, I've gotten to the point in just practicing with the Lord and talking to the Lord where I actually, as I'm dreaming, I know that I'm dreaming. I'm not saying this happens to me every night, but it does happen frequently, where I'm actually dreaming the dream, I'm aware that I'm dreaming, and I interpret the dream while I'm dreaming it, because I'm asking the Lord about it. It's an awesome way to interpret dreams. It's my favorite way to interpret dreams. Just have the Lord or an angel standing right by you and say, this means this, this means this, this means this. It's very easy when that happens. I've also been aware when, had dreams where I realize I need the Lord's instruction on what to do here, and I will engage with the Lord in the dream, and I'll hear his voice about what to do. That's lucid dreaming. Okay, other question. Yes. Would you mind standing up just so I can hear you better? Yes. Yes. So this is a son that has passed away. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let me repeat the question for everyone here and also for the podcast. The question is, can the woman has had a dream where you've, I'm sorry, your name is? Sorry? So Patty's dream, she basically has a son who's passed away, and this son comes to visit her every few months. And at one point that he says, I don't want to come anymore. Oh, you said you don't have to go, please stay. And he said, no, I want to go. Okay, so you didn't like the fact that he had to go. You asked him to stay, but he wanted to go. Okay. Okay. Well, hopefully I'll still get asked back to speak here after answering this question. Let me take a swig of water. No, I'm just kidding. I'm going to start by answering your question with some questions. Okay. When Jesus came, what did he come and what did he give us after dying on the cross? That's very important. Pardon? The Holy Spirit, yes, that's one of them. What else did he give us? Something to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom. He gave us eternal life. He gave us the keys to the kingdom. So we appropriate that, right, with whose authority? With Jesus' authority. Okay, so in terms of heaven and in terms of hell, who is the one who has authority over all of that? Jesus, okay? So if Jesus is the one who has authority over all of heaven and over all of hell, then God can decide, Jesus can decide at any moment to do with whatever it is he wants to do with a person's spirit the same thing, same way that you and I do that in transportation. Does that make sense? So Jesus can actually come. He can take your spirit out of your body and take you to another place on earth. Jesus, because of the authority that he carries, he can actually release a person's spirit to come in a dream and actually speak to you. That I believe that that can happen. Now, there is a difference between that and necromancy. And this is very, very important to get. Very important to get. I am not condoning, nor would I ever condone, trying to ask for that experience, requesting that experience, trying to get someone's spirit to come. That is necromancy. That is a sin, and it is completely ungodly. It is a totally different experience when you have a dream and God decides to send someone's spirit to minister to you because he knows that it will. Now, I will say this. That doesn't necessarily mean that every time your grandmother comes in a dream that it's that person's spirit. That doesn't mean that. Because we also know within the scriptures that angels can take on human form. And we know sometimes that that happens because I believe that some of the reasons why God will have your grandmother or your son or someone that you love is because you can better hear the message when it comes from someone that you love. Okay, so it's very important to not attribute every experience that you have with someone who has gone on to be with the Lord to an experience of them actually coming. Okay, so I can't answer for you what yours was. I wouldn't attempt to do that. I just want to say that there is room for that in the scriptures. Is that okay? Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, what's the significance of having the same dream a number of times within a short period of time? It actually, to be honest with you, it really isn't limited to just within a short period of time. If you have the same dream over and over and over again, God is trying to get your attention. And you need to get the interpretation because it's very important that you get the interpretation. Now, there's a difference between having a nightmare and having a God dream. When you have a nightmare that is repetitive, it is probably indicating to you there is something about the enemy's strategy in that area of your life that you need to get because God, and God wants you to overcome it, and it's very important. When God gives you a dream, and God is either if God is prophesying something, into your life as you're having a dream, When you have it a few times, if you remember in Scripture, when something was done two times, it was always because there was someone was bearing witness. So the second time you have the dream, God's bearing witness to the first one. The third time you have the dream, anytime He does things in threes, it's a done deal. It's completed. It speaks of fullness. So if you had the same dream from God three times, it's basically going to happen. Does that make sense? Whatever it is that the Lord is releasing to you in the dream. So there's a difference between nightmares. So hear that clearly, because if you have a nightmare, do not hear what I just said and say that means that is going to happen, whatever you're seeing in the nightmare. That is not the case. If you have a nightmare that's repetitive, it's because the Lord wants to get your attention so that you can get the healing that you need, the deliverance that you need in order to overcome whatever it is He's speaking about. Okay? All right. Let's go to this side of the room. Yes. Deja vu, yes. Okay. Is deja vu related to dream life? I believe that deja vu is a spiritual experience. And here's why I believe that. Because when you have deja vu, a true deja vu, you know that you've been there before. You're like, oh my gosh, everything is absolutely familiar. There's only one person who knows the future, and that's God. Only one person. And we know the future only when He reveals it to us. So if you're having a deja vu experience, and it really is deja vu, you really were there before, that means somehow, some way, the Lord took you there in some sort of spiritual experience prior to you getting there. That could have happened in a dream. It could have happened in a trance. It could have happened in prayer and you were unaware of it. It could happen in a lot of different scenarios, but definitely having had a dream about it and not remembering the dream, because remember what did we say about Job? That God gives us a dream or a vision of the night, and that sometimes He does what? He seals it and He conceals it from us. So there are times when we have dreams and we don't know that we've dreamt it. And yes, a deja vu experience can be living out that dream. Yes, in the back. That's a good question. I've never had that question before. So the question is, if, because you said actually a few different things, because there are two different things I hear you saying. One is the issue of dreams being externally originated, but the second issue I hear you addressing is, why is it that we hear in Acts 2, or Joel, talking about the last days and God speaking about dreams and visions and pouring out of the Spirit when people were already having dreams back then? Is that it? Okay. Did I get all of it? Okay, so I believe it's because, and I think this comes from understanding, not from exactly how the scriptures are written, if that makes sense. But as the Holy Spirit is being poured out on all flesh, one indicator of a pouring out of the Spirit is more people having dreams and more people having visions. And so I don't think He was saying that there was a time when it didn't happen, and that there was a time when it was going to happen. I think what He was saying is, this is going to be a mark of the end times, that my Holy Spirit, that the Spirit will be poured out on all flesh, and an indicator of that pouring out will be. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, I'm not sure if I understand the externally originated part. Okay. It would be good for you to listen to the podcast from last week, because I did unpack it a little bit more. But here's what I'll say in general. We don't have any biblical example for a dream coming from a person's own psyche. We don't have that in the scriptures, number one. But number two, when we think about, if we accept that dreams are an aspect of God, which they are in the scriptures, then we also know that if we're hearing from the spiritual realm, that we can hear not only God, but we also can hear the enemy. And certainly, for those of you who've ever been plagued with nightmares, you know that those were not the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? You know nightmares were not from God. So you have to discern what it is that you're receiving, understanding it's from one of two sources. Now, you have the fallen nature, right? You have our soul, but our soul is influenced by one of two things. Our soul is influenced either by God or it's influenced by the enemy. So you can have a dream, a soulish dream, that is pointing to unmet desires, that's pointed to areas of sin, that's pointing to areas of thinking that need to be changed. And that basically is showing you areas of your life where the enemy's strategy is still in plan or in place that you need to overcome. Does that make sense? Now, I will say this, that a lot of Christians believe that dreams come from their own psyche. And I don't know that I can really, in tonight, the time that we have tonight, really address all your concerns. But what I would say is this, look at all the dreams that we have in Scripture and ask the Lord to speak to you about that. Because, yeah, that's probably the best I can do tonight. That's a good question. That I can think of right now, no. But what we do know is this, that if dreams are an aspect of God speaking to us, which we clearly see, and we right now are opening ourselves up to be able to hear from God in that way, and we also see the evidence of nightmares and all those other things, there have to be two different sources. Do you know what I'm saying? Because I've had dreams, I'm sure all of you have had dreams, where you know that's not the Lord speaking to me. Do you know what I mean? I know that. I know that it's not revealing His will. And so we have to grow in discerning as we open ourselves up to this and as we start paying attention to our dreams, we have to ask the Lord to help us understand who it is that we're hearing from. And I will say this, the degree to which your soul is in rule over your spirit is the degree to which you will find difficulty doing that. Okay, can I just say that in a positive way?
Yeah.
Now let me say that in a positive way. The degree to which the Holy Spirit is in rule over your life, or your soul is yielded to the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you, is the degree to which you are going to have great discernment and understanding where it's coming from. Okay? Go ahead.
So the question about is there an example in the Bible of a nightmare? And so I would say yes, there is. When Gideon went and he was about to overtake the enemy, what he heard was he heard the enemy reveal a dream where they were afraid. And basically, what was the, you used it last week?
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So do you remember that?
Yep.
So Gideon, what was it?
Well, basically, Gideon is overhearing two people talking, and this guy's had a nightmare about the thing that's about what's to happen, which is that
they're about to be overtaken. Gideon was about to come.
Yep.
So I would say to Gideon, that was a God dream. To the enemy, that was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Make sense? To the enemy, the dream was, we're going to be overtaken and we're going to be killed. So to me, there's nothing uplifting, encouraging. There's not any word of life in that at all. So to the enemy, that was a nightmare.
Yeah.
For Gideon, that was this is a God dream.
Yeah. No, I can't think of another example, but I will say this. We know in the Old Testament that there are warnings about false dreams and warnings about false prophets who will have false dreams. And if they're false, who do they come from? They come from the enemy, if they're false. Because is there anything false in God? No, God is truth, right? So there definitely is biblical room for false dreams. Now, for those people who might have discussions with other Christians who don't believe that dreams are important, they may quote that verse to you. And I would encourage you to say this. If the dreams say, or if the scriptures say that there are false dreams, what does that indicate? There have to be true dreams. The scriptures would not exhort about false dreams if there would be no reason to say false. It would just say, don't listen to dreams. Make sense? Okay, we have time for one more question, then I want to start doing just some of the practical stuff in the middle of the room because I haven't gone here. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, I believe they are. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I said as much last week. The question is, what's your name, sir? Paul's question was, if you have a nightmare, isn't that a challenge really to bring God's purpose into the earth? Yes, absolutely. And in fact, the point I made last week was this, that so many Christians only listen to those dreams that they believe are from God, and they totally negate or totally let go of or ignore dreams that don't seem to be from the Lord. But if you listen to all of your dreams, I submitted last week that you can have a spiritual interpretation to a dream that comes from the enemy, and therefore what will happen is, as a result of the strategy that you hear from the Lord, you know how to overcome whatever the enemy is doing. So both are important. Just because you've got two different sources doesn't mean we only listen to the God dreams. And in fact, I submitted last week, you actually have a really powerful weapon because you've basically seen into the enemy's camp and seen what the enemy intends. And so you now have revelation about what you need to overcome, or what your church needs to overcome, or your neighbor needs to overcome, or whoever the dream is about. Okay. I know we could probably go on for a long time with questions, but I want to get to some real practical stuff so that you can start the process of interpreting your own dreams. Okay, let me just look at time. How am I doing? Gosh, we have so much we could do. All right, I forgot to do the top 10 dreams. Let me go there first, because once I do the keys, it's going to be easier to flow into interpreting dreams at the board. Top 10 dreams. How many of you have the dream where your teeth are falling out? Teeth are falling out. Very, very common dream. And we have that expression that when you need understanding, you need to chew on something. That's essentially what the dream means. When you have a dream where your teeth are falling out, it means you need wisdom and understanding in a certain area of your life. Now, the context of the dream may tell you what aspect of your life God is talking about. You may not have any context. You may just see teeth falling out, and you're going to have to ask the Lord, where is it that I need wisdom, understanding, knowledge? Okay, being late or lost. How many of you have that dream? Okay, very simple. You have somewhere to go, and you are missing it. Now, that means this, in terms of your destiny, it can mean something that literally God wants to do something that you have not either paid attention to or paid heed to, but there is somewhere that he wants to take you, and you have somehow missed it. Again, context of the dream might tell you a little bit more insight as to what he's talking about. If not, if it's general, you're just being late, you know, you're just late or you're lost, then it means there's an opportunity that you've missed, and the Lord needs to reveal to you what it was. How many of you fly in your dreams? Very, very common dream. That basically represents a call to the prophetic, because when you are flying, it means that you're able to see from a higher perspective. So I want to encourage you, those who've had flying dreams, whether you believe it or not, the Lord's got a gift of prophecy inside of you. Those of you who had dreams as a child where you flew all the time and you no longer have those dreams right now, I want to tell you that God put that gift inside of you from the time before you were born. And even if you are not seeing the manifestation of it now, God is going to restore it because it's yours to be restored. Okay? Yes. Pardon? It includes visions. Yes. Where you are flying. Taking a test. How many of you have take tests in your dreams? This is really difficult. You're in a time of testing. How you do on the test tells you whether or not you were prepared for it. Now, I'll be honest with you. I hate this one where I'm on my way to a college exam, and I realize, oh my gosh, I have not been to the class the entire semester, and I have to go take an exam. I hate that dream. It basically means you are about to take a test, and you are not ready for it. Now, if you have that dream, God's allowing you to have that dream because he wants you to get ready. So don't freak out and think, I'm going to fail the test. Just got to realize, man, I got to do a lot of catching up right now, you know? Okay, being naked in public, how many of you have it? Oh, liars, the rest of you. It is a very, very common dream. It basically means this. you are about to go through a time of being vulnerable and transparent. Again, context of the dream might tell you where you're going to need to be vulnerable and transparent. It may not. But, I mean, if you're naked in a dream, it basically means you're going to be open, vulnerable, transparent in that situation. How many of you have bathroom dreams? Very common. Very common without talking too much about all of that. Let me just help you understand this. If you're going to the bathroom in regular life, it is your body's way of releasing physical toxins, okay? It's just a natural bodily process. If you're going to the bathroom in a dream, it means you are going through a season of emotional and spiritual cleansing. It's a good thing, or you're about to go through it. Now, if you happen to be going to the bathroom in front of a whole bunch of people and you're naked, which is a common dream, it basically means get ready, because that cleansing process that you're going to go through, you are going to go through in front of a lot of people. But here's what I want to encourage you with. And I think this is a word for the church, actually, right now. I feel the Lord on it. And I don't mean just this church. I mean the broader church, too. We need to get to the place where we become vulnerable and transparent in the middle of crisis. And in the middle of cleansing. I am very grateful that we go to a church and that the church at large has definitely embraced inner healing, and we've come to a place where we're more free talking about the stuff that we've been through. But true vulnerability and true transparency, and I believe what the world is really waiting for, is when we are willing in the middle of the stuff to say, this is where I'm at. And not just talk about it in retrospect, not talk about what the Lord did, but what talked about real time, right now, this is what I'm going through. And and I try to do that as much as I possibly can when I teach, just to be real. It's partly why I said tonight that I still struggle with the whole healing thing, because I know the scriptures say that it's true. I know that God is a God who heals, and yet something in me still has a hard time wrestling in faith for that. And I'm just honest about that. All right, so going to the bathroom in public just means your cleansing is going to be apparent to the people around you. Having a baby. How many of you have babies in dreams? And men, you can have them too. John Paul had an amazing dream. In his dream, he actually was hugely pregnant, and he went to the hospital and he had a C-section. And he said he felt the whole thing. He felt the baby inside of him. He felt all that was happening. And the interpretation was this, that he was going to be giving birth to seers. The C-section was a play on words for S-E-E, for seers. So when you have, whoo, what's going on? Trying to tell me something? Okay, so when you have a dream about having a baby, it means something new is coming. And context of the dream may tell you when it is coming. It could be a gift. It could be a job. It could be a calling. It could be a lot of different things. It just means something new. You may even get timing on it. If you know that you are 5 months pregnant in a dream, it means 4 months from now something's going to happen. Okay? All right. Snakes in dreams. Very common. Who's a snake in the Bible? Satan basically just means that there's lies or deception of some sort coming against you. Don't have any condemnation about that. We all have them at some time or another. They're just to make us aware of what is going on. And if we don't know from the context of the dream what the snake is about, we ask the Lord. Lord, where is it in my life that I am being deceived? Open my eyes. Okay, falling in a dream. Some aspect of your life is out of control. Because when you fall, it literally means you've lost your balance somehow. Again, a dream like that, turn to the Lord. If there's not context, ask him in what area. Not able to move or run. How many of you have those immobility dreams? Okay, it basically means this, that something is holding you back from where you are supposed to go. And that is a very common dream. Again, context may tell you what the dream, you know, more than just that, but it may not. So if you just know that you can't move, then somehow it means that the enemy is holding you back in some way, and you need the Lord's strategy for how to get moving again. Okay, those are the top 10 dreams. All right, now let's get to some practical things that you can do to unpack your dreams. If you want to unlock your dreams, or if you want to catch the meaning of your dreams, you first have to remember your dreams. So, to remember your dreams, how many of you have difficulty remembering your dreams? Okay, very common for a lot of people. Number one, when you go to sleep at night, ask God to speak to you in your dreams. That's where it starts. Number two, ask the Lord to help you remember when you wake up. Help you to remember the dream that you had. Very important. Number three, if you really want to get serious about it, ask the Lord to wake you up at the precise time when it is you will best recall the dream. And here's why I say that. Because we all go through sleep cycles at night. And they're active hours of the night where we are really dreaming. For most of us who have a normal bedtime of around 10-ish, something like that, that means for some people that waking up at about 5, 4:30 or 5 would be the best time to recall your dream. So it doesn't mean you have to. I'm just saying I give the Lord permission to wake me up whenever he wants to wake me up so that I can best remember the dream. I don't know what number I'm on. 4, is that right? Am I on 4? Okay. Set your alarm clock to the latest possible time to wake up in order to start your day. So, and the reason I'm saying that is this. When an alarm clock wakes you up, it jolts you out of the sleeping realm into the natural realm. And usually what happens is when you hear that alarm clock, it jars you in a way that it's very hard to recall your dream. So if you will set your alarm clock to the latest possible time and ask the Lord to wake you up before that so you naturally wake up rather than waking up to the alarm clock, you're going to have an easier time of remembering your dreams. Fifth, record your dream as soon as possible after waking up. How many of you wake up in the morning, you have a dream, it's vivid, you remember it, you love it, and about 4 o'clock in the afternoon you're like, oh, what was that dream? Because dreams are like disappearing ink. And if you don't write them down right away, they usually flit away. So if you don't have time to do a lot, just jot some notes down. I'm going to help you in just a minute to figure out how to do important symbols and stuff like that. But you may want to have also a digital recorder and speak into it and record your dream that way. It's probably a good time to announce this. I'm wearing a Dream Logger t-shirt. In case you haven't seen it, DreamLogger is a new iPhone app that Streams is about to launch. And it was really cool. There was an Apple developer that thought, how cool would it be to have an iPhone app where you could actually record your dreams and blog your dreams and do all this other stuff. And he asked John Paul would actually release his material so that he could kind of answer questions and do a whole bunch of stuff on a website that would be associated with it. And then the next day he called John Paul and he said, you know what, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to give this to you. So he developed this app. It's going to be Streams. It's going to be launching in November. If you're interested in beta testing it, you can go to dreamlogger.com and download it on your iPhone. But here's what's really cool about it. You're going to be able to log all your dreams. So essentially what will happen is you can write it into your iPhone, or you can speak it into your iPhone, record it as a WAV file, download it into iTunes, and then all you have to do is get software that then translates a WAV file into text, and you're done. How cool is that? Aren't you so glad we live in 2009? It's so cool. It's amazing what we can do. It's amazing what we can do. Now, those of you who don't have an iPhone, DreamLogger is also going to have a website application as well. But this is launching in November, and I really encourage you to check that out. Okay, other things you want to do. Study the parables in Scripture. Why do I say that? If you were here last week, you heard me talk about how God speaks in symbols and metaphors, and how those symbols and metaphors we see all throughout the parables, we see all throughout the dreams and the visions of the Bible. So if you want to make room for more dreams in your life, read the parables and catch how Jesus speaks, because that same way that he speaks in parables is the way that he's speaking in your dreams. If you study the dreams and visions, especially the ones that we have the interpretation for, that's also going to help unlock dream interpretation for you. Okay, now, here goes to the real nitty-gritty steps to interpretation. First thing you do after you've written down your dream, when you want to start interpreting dreams, is ask the Holy Spirit for the interpretation. Now, I know that sounds really simple, and you're like, oh my gosh, do I even need to write that down? But here's why I say that. Because anytime you start studying something, and some of you may go on to study this more than just the last 2 nights that we've had, it is very easy, the more you learn about a subject, to get into a place of analysis and not revelation. Very easy. And that is not what I want to teach you. Everything that I'm teaching you tonight, I'm teaching you for the purpose of engaging with the Holy Spirit. Tools so that you can talk to the Holy Spirit about your dreams. God will never negate your need for Him. Never. For anything. And it comes to dreams. This is true of dreams as well. So ask the Holy Spirit for the interpretation. He may give it to you instantaneously, and He may not. If He does not give it to you instantaneously, here are some steps that you can do to start unpacking your dreams. Number one, look for the main character or the central element of the dream. And this is what John Paul Jackson calls finding the focus. Now, here's what I mean by that. Do you remember, for those of you who were here last week, we had a dream. There was a woman who had a dream about, is it okay if I share your dream? Okay. There was a woman who had a dream where in the dream there was a dog that bit her left hand once and bit her right hand 10 times. And that was all that happened in the dream. Okay. Now, this one's fairly easy, but I mean, who's the central character? She is, right? Everything's happening to her. You take her out of it, nothing happens. And what else happened in the dream? Now we're going to the second step. So you find out who or what the dream is about. I'm trying to think of what the other one was. Oh, what about the woman? Nah, I won't go there right now. Okay. Second thing you want to do after you find the focus is, actually, you know what? I skipped a step. Ask the Holy Spirit. First step after asking the Holy Spirit is to title your dream. And here's why this is so important. When you title your dream, you want to give it something that is going to be visually stimulating for you so that when you go back to your dream journal and you see the title, it helps you to remember something important about the dream. The other thing that a good title will do is it sometimes even gets to interpretation of what the dream is about. And you'll get better at that as you start recording more of your dreams. So title your dream, find the focus. The third thing that you want to do is ask God for the important elements. And even with you who are prolific dreamers, try to simplify it to just 3 to 5 at the very most. Here's why you want to do that. When you simplify your dream to just 3 to 5 symbols, you're going to get the main gist of what God is saying. When you try to look at absolutely every single symbol and every single color and all of the details and you write all of it down and you try to get it all at once, what usually happens is you cannot see the forest for the trees. Do you know what I'm saying? You get so bogged down in the details, and I have people come to me all the time, and they're like, oh my gosh, I had the craziest dream. It was like 5 pages long when I wrote it out. There's no way that I could possibly ever get an interpretation to it. They give it to me, I'm able to simplify it in 3 to 5, and they're like, oh my gosh, how'd you do that? Because I simplified it. Now, that does not mean that details are not important. Don't hear me. That's not what I'm saying. By simplifying it, though, to 3 to 5 symbols, essentially what you do is you get to the main gist of what God is saying, and once you understand the main gist, then you can go back and you can add the details. Does that make sense? Okay, so title, focus, 3 to 5 elements. And I'm going to chart this out when we get someone up here. After you get 3 to 5 elements, then you want to start engaging with the Lord. Lord, what does this mean? What does this symbol mean? And as you're doing that, you need to understand this, that God speaks in symbols and metaphors. So if you don't hear Him say immediately what it means, you start thinking the way the Bible teaches, okay, what does this thing do in life? Now, here's what I mean by that. So I was teaching this course, or teaching a workshop, and someone didn't understand what I meant, and basically like what I had just shared with you right now. And she said, I don't get it. And I said, okay. Let me try to explain. I've never seen a giraffe in a dream. Never. Never seen a giraffe, have no idea what a giraffe is. But if I want to apply the biblical principles of metaphorical understanding and symbolic understanding, I would start to think, okay, what do I think of when I think of a giraffe? What do you all think of? It's tall, and it's specifically a tall neck. And because it has a tall neck, what can it do? It can see, but it also eats from what? Tall trees. It's from the tops of the trees, right? So I said, I don't know, I'm not for sure, but I said, one thing a giraffe could possibly be is the ability to be able to eat from some high spiritual places, be able to obtain food from a higher place than what other people are able to. And I said, so maybe that's one thing it could mean. Now, a giraffe can do a whole lot more than just that, but that's just what came to me. The next morning, there was a woman, very first dream we interpreted. She goes, so this is the weirdest dream. I'm sure it doesn't mean anything. It's totally bizarre, but I was pregnant with a giraffe. True story. I knew exactly what it meant. And in fact, as you looked at it in the context of the rest of the dream, that's exactly what the symbol meant, that God was going to birth in her the ability to eat from higher spiritual places. And actually, it was a really healing dream, because the rest of the dream was there were people at church who were mocking her for having had the giraffe. And so essentially what she needed to understand is wherever she was going to be feeding from, people around her, even people that she trusted, were not going to necessarily understand it at first. And she ended up weeping. And just, it was pretty incredible dream. Okay, so you ask for metaphorical understanding of those dreams. And then once you get those, once you get the meanings, so remember last week I was walking you through those dreams, right? So the woman with the left hand often represents, though the left side of your body often represents what you're born to do, what's in your heart to do, because your heart is connected, more closely connected to the left side of your body. The right side of your body usually has to do with what you have faith to do. So when I was looking at the dream, I understood the difference between left and right. I also understood that there was only one bite, right, on the left hand, and there were 10 on the right hand. So I knew that she was not significantly attacked as much in terms of her own destiny and what she wanted to do as much as she was in her faith. And I also said it had to do with a relationship. Why? Because what do you do when you meet someone for the first time? You extend your hand to that. So hands often have to do with extending yourself in relationship. And then I looked at the numbers. The number 10, 10 in the scriptures is a number of wilderness and journey. And so I understood that she'd gone through a wilderness experience as a result of what had happened. Does that make sense? And so all this is happening. Now, I'm going to chart a dream up here for you in just a second. But all this is happening, I'm doing essentially what I just showed you, what I just taught you. I was doing that the whole time she was up here. I enter the dream with a dreamer, and I ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, would you show me who the focus is? Would you show me the main elements? Would you tell me of the interpretation of those symbols? And because I've practiced for so long, most of the time when someone gives me a dream, by the time they're finished with a dream, I can give them the interpretation. Now, I've interpreted thousands of dreams, so I can't tell you when that happened for me, but I can just tell you this, the more you practice, the better you're going to get. Okay, so who's got a dream? It's got to be short. It has to be short in order for, orange shirt right here, come on up. Can you use a microphone, please? I know. It's the price you pay.
I had a dream the night before last, and I have a friend that's in Mozambique right now, and it was 2 a.m. her time. I was calling her on the telephone, and she answered.
This is in the dream?
Yes.
Okay.
I said, it's my son's birthday here. Talk to him. So she talked to him a second, and then I got the phone back, and she said, hold on a second. And then I heard people in the background talking, and a guy came on the phone very excited, and he said, what are you doing talking on the telephone? Don't you know that there's an old custom, an old saying, that when heaven is in between sessions, that it's an open heaven, and you're supposed to be praying? And he hung up, and I went and prayed, and then I woke up.
Okay. Can you repeat it one more time? Well, there's a lot in there, and I want to make sure I heard. Here's what I heard. Let me tell you what I heard, and then you can tell me if it was right. You were talking to a friend in Mozambique at 2 a.m. As you're talking to her, you ask her to talk to your son. She talks to your son, and then she gets off the phone.
Because it's his birthday.
Because it's his birthday. Then she gets off the phone. She gets off the phone. You hear talking in the background. And then a man gets on the phone and said, this is the part where I don't understand.
He said, what are you doing talking on the telephone?
He says, to you?
Uh-huh.
He says, to you, what are you doing talking on the telephone?
Don't you know that there's an old custom, an old saying, that when heaven is in between sessions, then it's an open heaven. You should be praying.
When heaven is in between sessions.
He's really excited at heaven.
Yeah.
He's not.
Yeah. When heaven is in between sessions, there's an open heaven, and so you need to be praying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that was the end of the dream.
And my son's birthday is coming up, so I'm like, okay, is this literal? Or?
Okay, and tell me your name.
Tanya.
Tanya, and what would you title your dream?
I don't know. Let me take a second.
Okay, that's fine.
Revelation.
Okay. I'm going to encourage you to think of something that would help you if you were going back into your journal to try and you wanted a title that would help you remember what this dream was about. What would you title it?
I guess Open Heaven.
Open Heaven. Okay. How about just to get to a little bit more detail even than that, Open Heaven /son's birthday or something. Why is it her? because she's a central character, and if you take her out of it, the dream falls apart. Now, how do you know that it's not about the son? Because at the very end of the dream, who's the message being given to? Being given to her. So when you have people, you have to, in dreams, because you're going to have multiple people in your dreams, a dream can be about two different people. But in this case, because most of the action is happening around Tanya, it's about Tanya. So you put Tanya as the focus. Now, what were some of the main symbols that we saw? So if we walk through the dream, you've got, you're on the phone with your friend in Mozambique, right? Okay, so we're going to put friend. And I'm going to put M for Mozambique, just because that's a long word. All right. And I don't want to write it out up here. Okay, and then the friend talks to your son, right? Okay, so there's a conversation with son. Okay, and then what else did we have? You heard the commotion, which is kind of just filler, right? But the next main thing that happens is the message that you receive, right? Okay, so I'm going to write the message, and I'm not going to rewrite the message up here because that message is long and also because it's fairly literal. Does that make sense? Okay. Now, she's got a friend. So essentially, here's how you know that you have found the right focus. When you write out the subfocuses, or when you write out the three or five domain elements, whatever it is you're writing out, they've all somehow got to relate back to Tanya. Does that make sense? Okay, so this is her son. Now, what I forgot to tell you, sorry about that, is that you also want to write down important details. So even though we're going to go to interpreting the subfocuses first, you don't want to forget the important details. So we know that this friend, we know that she called her at 2 a.m., we know that it's her son's birthday. And that's about it, right? Those are the important details. Okay. So now you want to go back and you want to ask the Holy Spirit, knowing that God speaks in symbols and metaphors, and you want to start interpreting these dreams. When you think about Mozambique, what do you think of? Heidi Baker, yes. What's Heidi Baker known for? Orphans. When you hear stories about those orphans, what do you hear about? The love of the Father, and what else? Miracles. Okay. Now that's the what I was looking for, and the reason why I was looking for it was this. What's the message later on in the dream? Open heaven, okay? So there's something probably about the Father's love and something probably about this whole message of miracles and signs and wonders because of the context of the dream. Does that make sense? Okay, so we're going to interpret this right here. And I want to encourage you, when you start doing this with your own dreams and you start out, use one color for just what you're writing down. Use a second color for the interpretation. And here's why you want to do that. When you go back, it will be much easier to look at what it is that you've done if you do it in two different colors, okay? All right, so you've got this friend, and you've got this friend who's from Mozambique. So we just said this is about signs, wonders, obviously through relationship, because why? It's coming from a friend. Okay, and this friend has a conversation with her son. Now, you wouldn't necessarily know this, but what are children? Children are called what? They're what from God? Gifts. They're gifts from God. So sometimes when you have people in dreams, it is going to actually be about them. Okay, so you have to look at this dream in two different ways. Could this be something for her son because it's his birthday? Or could this be about a gift that she has? And what is a birthday when you think about it metaphorically? It's a celebration of what? Of life, okay? So you have to look. Sometimes when you don't know for sure how to interpret it, you look at all the different things that it could be. So we know that this could actually literally be about her son, okay? But we also know it could be about a gift that she has. And I'm going to go ahead and go with gift because of the whole context of the dream, okay? But I'll give you both interpretations at the end, okay? All right, so we're going to say that this is about a gift. If you have a conversation with someone, there's communication going on. So there's communication about this gift that she has. There's a celebration of her life. Okay. And the most important thing is the message, which is take time, isn't it, to pray. And what is that prayer? What is the message also about? It's about this open heaven. Okay. So, here's what we know. That this dream, something is being communicated to her from a place where there are healing, signs, wonders, miracles. This is coming through relationship to her. That it's being communicated, it's being released to, if you will, her gift. Does that make sense? And is a celebration of her life. And it's important to intercede right now because there is a window that's been opened in heaven over her life. Does that make sense? Okay. So, Tanya, I believe this dream is about you. And the Lord wants to encourage you that healing signs and wonders are going to be released through your life. And there is going to be communication that's coming to you from the heavenly realm that's going to release the gifts in you that are already there. And all that he's asking you to do in the process is to engage with him, to pray, and to receive the open heaven that's over your life. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay. This may seem tedious, but I want to encourage you how I got to get to the place where I'm at now, which is literally someone could tell me a dream, and I do this very naturally. I don't have to chart stuff out. I don't even have to chart my own dreams out anymore. Very rarely do I ever have to do that. But this is meant to give you a tool so that you can start to simplify your dreams. Now, one of the elements that we didn't interpret was a 2 a.m. What do you know what 2 is? Agreement, and also what else? Witness. Exactly. So God is saying that there is something being released from heaven that is witnessing what is going on in Tanya's life right now. And that also speaks to the open heaven too, doesn't it? Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Let me see where we are right now. It is 9:05. Here's what I would like to do. I want to interpret because the easiest way for you to catch it is for you to hear it. I'm not going to chart out every dream, but if I could get just 4 people up here, one right here, one right here, the man in the striped shirt, and the boy and the man and the young man in the sweatshirt. Yep. Okay. Do we have a microphone? Can you tell me your name, please?
Wayne.
Ray.
Wayne.
Wayne.
Yeah. Okay, this dream happened about 25, 30 years ago, and it's imprinted, so I remember it as if it happened last night.
Okay.
In the dream, I'm standing in a plush green valley. On one side of the hill is a dead tree. The other side of the hill is a green tree. In front of me is a range of mountains. There is a crowd of people behind me. I don't know what the number is, a big crowd. Suddenly, in the dream, a metallic ball appeared in front of me, and it had this lightning-type stuff going on around it. Then there was a beam of light. Two beings came towards me, and they were both light beings. I could see their faces, I could see their eyes, but I couldn't see detail. But I knew that they were not there to harm me. The people behind me, when they came forward, they ran. And I looked over my shoulder to see, why are you running? And they just were running. The next thing I know, the two beings take me by the arm and escort me into this encapsulated thing. I felt secure. There was no fear of any kind. I looked down and I see this digital number running. And I heard this voice. It wasn't audible. It was just there. It said, at this speed, there is no time or distance. Next thing I know, in front of me, the wall becomes transparent and the door opens. And I see these big, huge, plush trees with gigantic leaves all over them. The dream ends.
Okay. Great dream. So I'm going to repeat the dream back to you. So in this dream, you're in a plush green valley. You see a dead tree and you see an alive tree. And all of a sudden, a metallic ball comes. There's a ball of light that's coming out of it, or a stream of light that's coming out of it. Two light beings come towards you. And there's a whole stream of people behind you. You're not afraid, but everybody is, or some people. Everybody else is afraid, and they all run, but you're encouraged by this. And then as these light beings take you forward, there's a wall that's in front of you that becomes transparent. You walk through it, and now there's plush green trees. Is that it? Okay. All right. And this was 25 or 30 years ago?
Yep.
Okay. Dreams are sometimes speaking to what's going on, but sometimes dreams are just prophetic in nature and speaking about destiny. And I believe this is a destiny dream for you. And here's what I believe the dream means, is that you've had, for a long time, you've had discernment, understanding things that are dead and things that are alive, things that are of the kingdom and things that are not. And as, oh my gosh, I'm having a massive deja vu right now. God, it's just freaky when it happens. Okay. You've had an understanding of things that are from the kingdom and things that are not for a long time. And that understanding has released a place where you are not afraid of the supernatural realm, even when other people are. And that has, you're not being afraid, has opened up supernatural experiences to you that have not been opened to anyone else or to other people because of their fear. And you've been able to walk into a place where you readily see, easily see, love to see heavenly things. And that's a hallmark of your life. Now, that's the end of the interpretation, but here's what I want to say. There, I believe that this dream, what it indicates to me is because you have this gift, there's something very important about the call on your life to lead other people there. And that somehow the understanding that you have of the supernatural realm is going to enable you to help teach in a way that alleviates other people's fears. And that you're going to be one, you know, basically, dream shows that you're a forerunner in some of these things. But just as you've been a forerunner, obviously, the Lord's heart would not just be for you to go through that wall, but for all of us to. And so somehow, some way, he's designed you to help lead other people there. Does that make sense? Okay. Bless you.
My name is Brett.
Yes. Brett or Brad?
Brett.
Brett.
I have a dream, and in my dream, I've only had it once, but and it was probably 17, 18 years ago. And I'm praying in my house. And I was a long hair back then, so I had long hair, and I'm on my knees, and I'm praying, and there's something behind me petting my head. And I keep looking behind me, and there's nothing there. And then I look at the vents in my house, and there's cigarette smoke coming out of my vents, and I don't smoke. So I go looking through my house, and every room I go into, whatever I'm looking for has just left. So I finally tear into the wall, and I literally find what looks like, have you ever seen mice nest?
No.
How they shred paper? And inside the wall, I see a sleeping bag that's shredded and canned food, and it's all just a disgusting mess. And then I'm outside walking and praying later on, because I love to walk and pray. And I walk up to my home, and outside of my home there's this demonic figure that has long stringy black hair and has a white robe on, and he's sitting on top of a boulder in my front yard with two pebbles in his palms. And I said, "You have been in my house and you are not welcome." And he gets down off the boulder, and he's much taller than me. And he gets right down in my face, nose to nose. And then he just turns around and walks away, but he does not go back into my house.
Great dream. Okay, so in the dream, you're in your house, you're praying, you feel a hand on your head. Does a hand feel good? Hand does not feel good. You turn around, nothing's there. When you look up, you see cigarette smoke coming through the vents. You go through this whole time of discovery. Everything in the room has left once you get there. When you say everything in the room has left, are you saying?
What I'm looking for has left.
What you were looking for is left. Did you know if you were looking for something, a spirit, or
I was looking for what was petting my head.
Got it. Okay. So whatever it was that was petting your head, when you got there, it would have left.
Right.
Okay.
Right
before you left. So you go outside, you're praying, you love to walk and pray, and you see when you come back, a demonic being sitting on a boulder with two pebbles in his hands, and he's in a white robe.
With his legs crossed like he's meditating.
And you say, you've been in my house and you have to go. And he gets up and he leaves. And that's the end of the dream, right?
Well, he turns and walks into the woods that are by my house and disappears.
Okay. So basically the dream is this, that usually your dreams and houses have to do with destiny and calling. So at that time in your life, there was something critical going on in terms of you understanding your destiny, your life calling, and your purpose. And there was an attack of the enemy that came against you that was probably something to do with false authority, false spirituality, also related to the religious spirit that was coming against your home. And what the dream tells me is that you fought through that. You fought through to finding whatever discernment that you needed to get delivered from it in whatever way. And I don't know if that came generationally. I don't know if it was something, you know, that happened, you know, in your own life. But whatever was going on, you knew back then that there was something coming against you, and you took the authority that you needed to in the dream so that it would no longer affect you. Does that make sense? Now, here's how I got that. When people smoke or when they drink, they usually are trying to get high of some sort. There's some sort of false high that you're looking for. That's where the false spirituality comes from. Now, the cigarette smoke wasn't coming from you. Does that make sense? Somehow this was an attack of the enemy, so it was something from the outside coming in. The reason why I thought it might be related to the religious spirit is because a demonic being is wearing a white robe. White in the negative usually represents the religious spirit, because white in the positive represents purity and the power of God, and, you know, God is light. All those things. So it's usually the religious spirit in the negative. And so what it tells me is that that was somehow a strong strategy of the enemy back then, but that you took the authority that you had and needed to deal with it so that it wouldn't affect your destiny. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Two more. Okay. My name's Denise. The lighting is better. We want to see your beautiful face.
Okay, so. All right. Two nights ago, I had this dream, and I do have a lot of dreams where I'm flying.
Okay.
I'm up above. So in this dream, and I didn't, this is why I'm asking, and I came up for this. Two nights ago, I had this dream where I was up over an ocean. I don't know what ocean it was, but I was over an ocean, and I saw in that direction a tidal wave coming. And as I was looking at the tidal wave, I looked down, and as I looked down, I see a military ship. I see, like, over here, like a nuclear sub, and then I see, like, over in this direction, an island. But as I'm looking over to the island, I notice as I'm coming down to the ship, I'm about to meet the commander of the ship. As I'm looking down, I see that the island is going underwater. And I thought, oh, what's going on here? So I get down and I said to the commander, do you see the tidal wave? He says, yeah, I do. And then they proceeded to go through all their protocols and procedures that the military would do on a ship for whatever a tidal wave would be. And then I look over and I said, there's a sub over there. And he says, yeah. And then as he says, and I'm still looking at and observing, I go back up, and I notice that there's all these, like, fish, but they're not fish. I get a little closer, and they're dolphins. And it's like the military's doing exercises out there with these dolphins or something, and they're telling the dolphins are going around the sub, and then the dolphins, like, get a word or a message somehow, and they end up going into the sub. And then I look back over to the island, and it's still going down underneath the water, and then I woke up.
Okay, so in the dream, you're hovering above. What was the first ship? You said there was a submarine, but is the first one a Navy ship?
It's a huge military ship.
Just a
I'm
huge
assuming
military
it's a
ship.
Navy.
Okay.
Ship.
Yeah, well, obviously. So you're above, and you see the ship, and then you also see the submarine, and you see this island, and there's a huge tidal wave that's coming. And you know that the tidal wave is going to overtake this island somehow. So you talk to the ship commander, who's clear, yeah, I see what's going on, and he's trying to figure out how to handle it, and they're doing all that they know how to do. And then you also see that there's something that they've done with regards to dolphins that is releasing communication somehow, not only between the dolphins, but also the dolphins are kind of going into the submarine to do something, and you're not sure what that is. But in the meantime, you're still looking above, and while all this is going on, there still is a tidal wave that's coming to destroy the island. Is that correct?
And the ship and the sub, yeah.
And the ship and the sub.
If they don't do something, yeah.
Okay. This is basically an intercession dream. The difficult thing about this dream is that I don't know what situation it applies to, and you're going to have to ask the Lord about that, because this dream is not about you. This dream is about whatever it is that you're seeing and what is going on in the realm of the Spirit. What I do know is this, that there is something coming from the Lord, a tidal wave of the Spirit. And you know, when moves of God happen like that, it doesn't necessarily, my senses, and you're gonna have to weigh this, but my senses, this is not a bad thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Even though it would lead to destruction of an island, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad thing. Okay? But you are being given insight into some move of the Spirit that is gonna need communication in the spiritual realm amongst authorities in order to know how to handle what is going on. If you look at dolphins, dolphins are one of the most communicative creatures on the entire planet.
Right.
And so it's interesting to me that they were released. And so there's something about communication that's really important between all the authorities that have to make the decisions they need to make in order to handle what is coming. And what's really interesting about the difference between the Navy ship and the submarine, Navy ships are equipped for war, so there's something about warfare that's going to need to be released in all of this, but there are also deep things of the Spirit that are going to be attended to. That's a submarine because it's hidden and it goes underneath the water. And so there's something in your prayers that you're going to be able to release as this move of the Spirit comes. You're going to be able to pray. God will give you the strategy to pray so that people who are in positions of governmental authority, and I believe that goes for both the church as well as regular governmental authorities, will be able to make the decisions that they need to make in order to handle it. Okay. Now that's the dream.
Okay.
Have you listened to John Paul Jackson's Perfect Storm word? I want to encourage actually everybody to go and look at it at streamsministries.com. If you've heard Larry talk about the perfect storm that's coming, what's really interesting to me is that three major prophets, Larry Randolph, Bob Jones, John Paul Jackson, all got a word about the perfect storm, all separate from each other. They found out in a green room at a conference that God had been speaking to them essentially the exact same word. Now, when one prophet hears something, you know, you pay attention. When two hear it, you really pay attention. When three hear it, probably should really pay attention. My sense is that God is probably speaking to you about something that's coming, and the perfect storm that's coming, the Lord's allowing this to happen. There's going to be a huge move of God that happens as a result of all that is coming. And there's something about how he has created you as an intercessor to be able to pray into the strategies that people who are in positions of authority need to have to handle that storm that's coming. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea. I think you can look at that at a macro level, and you can look at that as a micro level. And
right.
I don't. So you've got to ask the Lord for application.
Okay.
Where is in terms of your authority? Is this about the church? Is this about a state? Is this about the nation? Only the Lord can reveal to you about that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Yes. Question. I felt. Yeah. I can only say the reason why I said felt is because it's really important as you're interpreting dreams that that you leave room for interpretation. And I leave room for her to find out whether or not that's really from the Lord. What I do know is this, waves, water is usually things of the Spirit. There wasn't anything in the dream that pointed to this being negative other than the island being overtaken. But if you looked at it, there were governmental authorities that were in place to try to figure out what was going on. So the context of the dream is basically good because people are trying to figure out, even though the danger is imposing. Does that make sense? The other reason why I say that is this, is that, and this is a hard thing to understand, but I think as we grow more and more in the Lord and mature, we need to understand He will unleash things on earth that cause destruction, but it is for a good purpose. And He does that in the Old Testament, and I believe that we're heading into times where that is going to happen, and we're going to have to focus on who he is and what He is going to do in the process. You know, that if He ever unleashes that, it's always for the purpose of people coming to know Him. It's always for the purpose, I believe, of harvest, partially. And it's also so that we will become closer to Him than we ever have been. So my sense is that it's from the Lord, but I give that to you to weigh. Okay? All right.
Hello. I have my dream written down, so I'm just going to read it, if that's all right.
Actually, if I could ask you to just say it from memory, it will be a lot better than you reading it, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay? Here's why. When you give a dream and you give it from your own memory, you often say the most important things that happen in the dream. And usually what happens when you read it is it's not as alive as when you say it from memory. And that usually helps you interpret it or enter it better. So that's why.
Okay. I was in an organized kind of prophetic meeting where there was a line of people and there was a prophet, and he was speaking over each one of us individually. And I see a friend of mine who is, he's with me, he's a student with me at the college. The prophet comes up, and he kind of reminds me of my old pastor that I had about 10 years ago. He puts his hands on my ears and says that he only has one word for me, but he said the word and I couldn't understand what the word was. And then he takes this dial, which I guess the dial was in me, and he turns it 180 degrees, and then I feel something kind of shift inside of me, but I'm not totally sure what that means. And then I wake up, and my clock says 4:44 on it.
4:44?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay, so in the dream, you're at a prophetic meeting. There's a prophetic guy up at the front, and you get prayer from this guy. He puts his hands over your ears, and he says something to you, but you don't know what it is that he says. And then he takes a dial, which you feel is a dial that's coming from you, and he turns it 180 degrees, and that's the end of the dream. And then you wake up, and it's 4:44. Mm-hmm. What a great dream. Okay, so, and this is when, sorry?
September 18th.
Okay, so it's just a fairly recent dream.
Yes.
Okay, so I believe that the dream is this, that God, there was a spirit of prophecy that came to you in a dream and spoke a word to you that's been embedded in your spirit, even though you don't necessarily know what that word is. But what the Lord was doing is He was readjusting something inside of you to be able to open up your ears to hear from the spirit realm better than you do already. And it's so significant that it literally is going to be like a 180 degree turn. And it's going to be like almost a little bit discombobulating as it happens. But now I'm speaking prophetically here, not just from the dream. But it's going to be a little bit discombobulating, because when you do a 180 degree turn, you got to find a new direction. But the Lord is going to do something to open up your ears in a really significant way. Now, because you woke up and you saw the clock at 4:44, to me, that tells me that He's about to unleash revelation to you about something in the realm of creativity. Four is a number of creative works in the Bible. And so there's something about a triple anointing of creativity that is going to land on you that's related to what God has unleashed in this prophetic and this better hearing of Him than what you've walked in before.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bless you. Okay. There's obviously a whole bunch more that I could teach you tonight. But it's the end of our time. It's 9:15. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Start writing down your dreams. Start recording your dreams. Start studying the dreams in Scripture. Study the parables of Scripture. Talk to people about your dreams. Ask God for dreams. And when He gives them to you, be faithful to honor them. Part of the reason why we write them down or record them is because in doing so, we tell God that we value what it is that He's giving us at night. All right? I want to encourage you, as tedious as this may be or may sound, if you start to do this, I promise you it's going to start simplifying things. It's going to start simplifying your dreams so that you can better get to the main gist of what God is trying to say to you, okay? All right, another thing. I don't know how many of you were, not everybody was here last week, so I want to make one quick announcement. I'm teaching a class locally called Understanding Dreams and Visions in Lebanon, Tennessee. Can I give these to you to pass out, you guys? Anybody who's interested in doing further study, I want to just encourage you to consider coming to that class. Raise your hand if you would like one. Here's what's awesome about this course. It's a 21-hour course. It's like a college-level course. That's not meant to scare you. That's just meant to say it is really, really detailed. And what I love about it is that it's not just about understanding dreams. It really is about understanding and going deeper in the things of the Spirit. And what I found out was, after having taken the course, that beyond just interpreting my dreams, all of a sudden I was hearing God so much better than I ever had and understanding the things that He was speaking. This particular class, when I booked it, John Paul had removed the prerequisite of the art of hearing God. And he has now reinstated it because of some of the pastors who've hosted the courses really believe that it's absolutely necessary for their people to get that first. So the reason I say that is this. This is the one and only time that this course will be offered locally where you do not have to take another class before you get to take this one. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you, if you can at all make it, it's November 12th through the 14th. It's about half an hour away from here. Great church that that I'll be doing it at, and I would love to have you come. And I think that is it. Let me just say one last thing. If you were not here last week and you would like an impartation for dream interpretation and for understanding dreams and, you know, just having dreams, I'm more than happy to pray for you. I want to ask you, though, I would really, really love to stay tonight and be able to interpret dreams for people. But I actually changed my flight to fly out tomorrow morning because I have to speak this weekend. And I leave very early in the morning. So while I would love to stay and while I would normally would stay and would interpret dreams for a while tonight, unfortunately tonight I just can't do that because I got to fly out in the morning. But if you would like an interpretation, I'd love to do that. Last announcement, Meg, my wonderful friend, is gonna. Oh,
you want an impartation?
What did I say?
Interpretation.
Oh, woo, that was a mess up, wasn't it?
It's okay.
If you would like impartation and you did not receive it last week, so if you received it last week, no going through the line again. Okay, you got it already. So if you didn't receive it last week, there are resources on the table. I know that you don't know everybody who's on there. I promise you I would not have it on the table if it wasn't great. So Meg's going to help with that. Two last questions. Yes. Yes. So she said, for the courses, will I do interpretation there? Yes, I will. And you do, I mean, we basically... I do a whole bunch of teaching, plus you're interpreting dreams in the classes. We're talking about dreams at all the breaks. I mean, yes. Last question. Last week, the podcast is going to be on the last week's is going to be on the website.
Under sermons.
It's under sermons. It will be under sermons. I'm fine with tonight being under there too, depending on what you think. It depends on how... He'll put the whole thing on there. So last night and last weekend and tonight will be on there.
Isn't this great?
Thanks.
Honestly, Janine, that's one of the coolest things I've ever seen. That was so neat. I really appreciate you coming and glad that you're a part of the house. One of the things I want to leave you with is that people were wondering about the next 4 weeks. Larry's going to come back and do a teaching on the spiritual gifts. So he'll cover the three spiritual gifts for 3 weeks, and then we'll do an impartation that fourth week. So anyway, so why don't you guys stand up? You guys have been great.
Yes. Yeah, let me pray a general prayer for everyone, if that's okay with
question.
You.
We did it. Yeah, if you want, but you can see Tony right here.
Thank you.
So,
do you want to pray and I'll pray too?
Yeah. Okay. Why don't you pray?
And then you pray too.
Then I'll pray.
Yeah.
Sure.
Lord, thank you so much, God, for the hunger that I that I feel in this room. Thank you, Lord, that I just see such hungry hearts to be able to hear you and understand you and know what it is that you're saying. And not just for dreams, Lord, but in every way that you speak. And so, Lord, I ask, God, that you would release that greater ears to hear and eyes to see in the realm of spirit for every single person in this room. And Lord, I do ask, God, would you pour out dreams on all of my brothers and sisters here, God. And I pray, Father, that you would give them the grace to have the discipline to write them down, to record them, to seek you about them. I pray, Lord, that as they go to the scriptures and study the dreams and study the parables, that the eyes of their spirit would be enlightened, that they would begin to hear you better and understand the ways that you speak. And God, I pray also too for lucid dreaming, that would be released, that people would be aware of when they're dreaming, that they would be able to interact with you and understand how to respond. I pray also too that you would even release interpretations simultaneously where people are dreaming. And Lord, I pray for discernment when they wake up in the morning, that they would be able to engage with you in such a way that they hear clearly who and or what the dream is about, and that they're able to really catch the meaning of what it is that you're saying. And Father, I just pray for a great release of visions, for a great release of supernatural experiences. And Lord, I pray especially for the things that are closest to their heart, that you would unlock their ears, that they would be able to hear you. And more than any of this, God, more than anything, I pray that all of this would lead each person here to a greater level of intimacy with you than they have known before. That's what it's all about, Lord, about being close to you, loving you, allowing you to love us. I pray all these things in Jesus' name.
And I just, as she was saying this, I just saw this picture. I felt like, for those of you that came, we actually came because we wanted to be informed. Actually, I felt like that it's a setup from heaven, because even though this is about information, I actually saw the Lord turning people's hearts and positioning them to be able to hear clear instructions. And for some of you, you're going to hear big things, bigger. It's a lot bigger than what you are about. And I just feel like that the Lord is actually doing that as well. And so Lord, I just bless that, and I bless what you are going to be able to hear. And I also bless that this is actually, I wish I could put it into words, is a Holy Spirit sneaky. It's like he, you think you are coming here for information, and actually it's more of an alignment. And so for some of you, he is adjusting you, literally. He's adjusting your spirit to be able to hear clearly instructions and information about you and about others. And so we just bless that. Yeah. It's actually, there's an opening. I bless the opening that is going to happen over your life in Jesus' name. And we bless Janine.
Thank you, Lord.
And we ask, Lord, for just an impartation of more, yes, that you would fill her up, that you would meet her needs, Lord, yes, in every area, and then some, in Jesus' name.
Amen.